And at 7:05, we have 68 degrees, your current temperature here at the KJN studios under partly sunny skies. We look for partly sunny skies here today with a high of 89 degrees and a chance of some isolated showers and thunderstorms. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with KJAN News. In the latest local news, the Red Oak Police Department reports an arrest last evening at 5:36 p.m. 37-year-old Roger Lynn Gibson II of Stanton was arrested at 106 West Coolbaugh Street in Red Oak on a charge of violation of probation. Gibson II was taken to the Montgomery County Jail and booked in on $5,000 bond. Police in Council Bluffs have apprehended a 35-year-old female transient and her alleged male accomplice who were said to be involved in the theft of a tow truck from a convenience store. Sergeant Darren Budd with the Council Bluffs Police Department said at about 9:06 p.m. on Friday, uniformed officers of the Council Bluffs Police Department with the assistance of adult probation officers located and arrested Jennifer Ray Malone of Oakland without incident. Malone was taken into custody on a warrant for the following charges: criminal mischief in the second degree, theft in the first degree, conspiracy to commit a non-forcible felony, and control of a firearm by a felon. Bond on the warrant was set at $500,000 and no additional charges have been filed. And the incident leading officials to suspect her in the case began at 9:48 a.m. on Friday when Todd Gokenauer, the owner of Action Towing, reported that his tow truck had just been stolen from the lot at Casey's at 2301 South 24th Street in Council Bluffs. According to Gokenauer, he had been called to the Casey's to unlock a car door. As he pulled into the lot, a female, later identified as Malone, waved him over to a white car. As Gokenauer was getting out of his truck, a man standing near the white car stated, "I got it. We don't need it unlocked." The woman then waved Gokenauer down. She became apologetic and asked him how much they owed. He told them nothing, and then she offered to buy him a beverage. They went inside to get a drink there at the Casey's store. She then said that she had forgotten her money in the car, went outside, got into the tow truck, and sped off. The man who was with the female followed the tow truck on a black motorcycle, and a white car in the parking lot that actually belonged to a Casey's employee. It wasn't even their vehicle that they were using as the bait. A customer inside Casey's who had witnessed the theft followed the stolen tow truck into Omaha, where he witnessed the truck become involved in an accident near 13th and Dodge Street and then leave the scene. Minutes later, the tow truck was found abandoned in Council Bluffs near 38th Street and Avenue C. Missing from inside the truck was an undetermined amount of cash and a .45 caliber Glock handgun that belonged to Gokenauer. And then later, that black motorcycle was spotted at 10:25 a.m. at the Ameristar Casino. And the man then took off on the motorcycle, led them on a chase, and then a short foot pursuit after he was then tracked down. And he did not speak with police officials. They're looking to try to positively identify his identity through fingerprint comparisons because he just would not cooperate with officers. He was charged with conspiracy, theft in the first degree, theft in the second degree, eluding, possession of a controlled substance methamphetamine, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Officials with the Cass County Landfill near Atlantic have received notice that the county intends to close the landfill road or Jackson Road west of the landfill effective on June 24th. The closure, which will last about 3 months, is necessary due to a bridge replacement project. Persons seeking to drop off items at the landfill should seek an alternate route. If you have questions, call 712-243-1991. U.S. Senator Joni Ernst on Friday announced that she will host town hall meetings in Adams and Union counties next Saturday as part of her 99-county tour. These town meetings are open to the public. The first meeting will be in Corning at 12:30 p.m. on June 27th at the Corning Opera House. That's at 800 Davis Avenue in Corning. And the second meeting is in Creston beginning at 5:30 p.m. at Southwestern Community College Performing Arts Center in Multipurpose Room 124. That's at 1501 West Townline Road. Once again, those meetings next Saturday. A New York City company, the Iowa Attorney General says was running a fraudulent psychic mail campaign targeting elderly Iowans, has been ordered to pay $200,000 to a state consumer protection fund. Court documents filed Friday say Faircom New York Incorporated and company senior account director Audrey Corvino agreed to the restitution and will permanently halt mailings to Iowans. Faircom was further ordered to ensure that no one else uses Iowa mailing lists it compiled. Attorney General Tom Miller says the company helped fraudulent operators in Switzerland, France, and the UK distribute mailings to older Iowans and people in other states promising psychics would miraculously deliver health, wealth, and happiness for a fee of $20 to $35. He says Faircom acknowledges helping with hundreds of mailings, or hundreds of thousands of mailings nationwide. Well, Sunday is Father's Day, and while it's usually a time reserved for celebrating our dads with gifts of neckties and golf putters, a study finds it's the most dangerous day of the year to take a drive in Iowa. Alex Murphy, spokesman for the Governor Traffic Safety Bureau, says new figures show that Father's Day has become the state's highest single fatality holiday. He said, when we started looking through the data, it surprised all of us in the office, and we thought it was, if it surprised us, it has to surprise everyone across the state. Nationally, the 4th of July is the deadliest holiday on roadways, but he said then we started to look closer at Iowa's numbers, and it turned out that Father's Day was the deadliest. Murphy calls it an alarming traffic safety trend. During the past 10 years, Iowa has recorded 19 traffic fatalities and 23 serious injuries and crashes on Father's Day. Murphy says that also on June 22nd, that single day is the single most deadly day on Iowa roadways, while New Year's Eve is also a dangerous night to drive given the typical winter weather combined with a higher potential for drunk drivers. Murphy could only speculate why Father's Day has moved to the top spot of the deadliest days list. He said it's nicer out. You have a lot more motorcycles on the road. Many more people are out traveling. He said it's really hard to attribute to anything specific, but the nice weather could play a role in that, having more people out on the Iowa roadways. For travelers this weekend, he reminds Iowans to buckle up, obey the speed limit, and other posted signs and laws. Watch for pedestrians and motorcyclists. Don't drink and drive, and avoid distracted driving. Ames police say that one man has died and another was critically injured in a construction accident at Iowa State University. KCCI-TV reports that emergency crews were called Friday afternoon to an apartment building under construction across the street from the ISU Memorial Union. Police say the accident that killed one man and hurt another involved a fall from scaffolding. The new Iowa Utilities Board chairwoman is explaining her decision to participate in a vote on a major oil pipeline despite a potential conflict of interest. In a June 8th filing, Jerry Huser told parties in the case that her brother is no longer representing a farm family that has filed an objection to the pipeline proposed by Dakota Access LLC. Huser noted that she wasn't on the board when her brother wrote a December objection letter, which will remain part of the case file. She said any appearance of conflict of interest has been addressed by his withdrawal from the case. Days before Huser's filing, a board spokesman said that Huser wasn't planning to formally disclose the issue in the case. The board could vote later this year. That's a look at the latest news here for you. Now take a look at your funeral announcements. Linda Anderson, age 74, of Marney, died Tuesday at the Cass County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Linda Anderson will be held today at 10:30 a.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Roland Funeral Service Atlantic has arrangements. Donald Dean Fichter, age 88, of Red Oak, died on Thursday at the Good Samaritan Society in Red Oak. A memorial visitation for Donald Fichter will be held on Monday from 10 a.m. until 11:30 a.m. at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. Lloyd Edwin Bergstrom, age 86, of Griswold, died June 11th. A memorial service for Lloyd Bergstrom will be held here today at 11 a.m. at the Griswold United Methodist Church. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has the arrangements. John Lewis Vanderheiden, age 84, of Harlan, died Tuesday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community. A massive Christian burial service for John Vanderheiden will be held Monday at 10:30 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Marie Cecile Campbell, age 63, of Harlan, died Thursday at home. Funeral services for Marie Campbell will be held Monday at 1 p.m. at Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Russell Lowell McLaughlin, age 88, of Audubon, died Friday at the Lake of the Ozarks. A celebration of life service for Russell McLaughlin will be held on June 22nd from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Audubon Country Club. Ann Fern Schlake, age 76, of Atlantic, died Friday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Funeral services for Fern Schlake will be held Tuesday, 2 p.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Service Atlantic is handling the arrangements. That's a look at the latest news and funeral announcements on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.